Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm going to do something just slightly a little bit different. First, let's start with prayer. Okay. Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the time that I get to learn something new. And I ask for you to right now to step in and take control. I ask for you to deliver the message that you have taught me so that others can understand it. And Lord, I ask that if nobody understands anything, that somewhere along the line, it will take and catch hold. I thank you for everything that you've done, and I thank you for everyone who is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So we're talking about fellowship. When I looked it up in the dictionary, it talks about having an association, being in common about something. So I asked everybody to kind of send me some pictures. I got lots of pictures as to what everybody believes is fellowship. And here's some. Okay, so in those pictures, what was the first thing that everybody saw?
Groups of people.
Groups of people, some of ourselves, some of people that we know who's not here for one reason or another. But we've had a moment that we've shared with them. Okay? So in my process of trying to learn about fellowship and what it is about, I had to think real hard about this because I've heard many different versions of it. So one of the things I looked up was to see in the New International Version how many times the word fellowship shows up. In the Old Testament, it shows up 89 times. 85, 89, somewhere around there. In the New Testament, it only shows up 9 times. And I'm like, why is that? So in the process of looking at all this and trying to go back and look in the Old Testament, majority of the time when it talked about it in the Old Testament, it was talking about a fellowship offering. So what is a fellowship offering? So when the people would make a sacrifice and an offering, they had certain ways that they had to do it. But the fellowship offering was a little bit different. The main requirement was that it could be of a male or a female animal, and it had to be without blemish. And it was to be offered in peace. Okay. So going through all of this and thinking about it, if you'll give me the first verse, please. And sorry, I don't have any of this written down, so. In Acts 2:42, says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Okay. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Praise God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, we're going to stop there a second. Okay. If you're offering something in peace, when you're offering it in peace, you're doing it from what? Your heart. You're doing it with a willingness. But where does that willingness come from? The Spirit. But where does the Spirit come from? God. Okay. So over the past several weeks, we have talked about fearing God. We've talked about following Jesus. We've talked about the Holy Spirit. The reason why we had to talk about those first is because it had to bring together the rest of what Pastor has us talking about. This is so that we can learn Unity. Fellowship is about unity. Everybody trying to work the best they can together, trying to have a mind of unity, to have a heart of unity, a willingness to share what they learn, a willingness to learn from each other. These are the things that what fellowship is about. When Jesus was crucified and died on the cross, he willingly went. He offered himself as a sacrifice. He was that fellowship offering, the offering of peace, hope, and love. When he took and he walked the earth, he didn't just stop and stay put in one place for a very long time. He traveled. Why was he traveling? Because a lot of times he wasn't wanted in a certain area. A lot of other times it was because he's done the best that he could and give all the information. People weren't willing to take any more information. So he had to leave them with what they had. And he had to move on to the next group because there was more to learn, more to share. And in the process of sharing all this, he was sharing it with the disciples so that they can learn from him to carry it on to share with somebody else. At that time, that is what fellowship was. They slept in the same area he did. They ate from the same table he did. They walked the miles that he walked. There was times he went a different direction, said, go around this way, meet me over here. Okay. My point being with all that is that we don't have to do absolutely everything together, but when we are doing things, we don't leave somebody behind. We don't take and say, you can't go with me. There will be times when things need to take place where that somebody may not be able to go along, but we always remember that they're there and we offer to them what we can, whether it be love, whether it be something that we learned that day, whether it be a feeling that we got because God interceded for us today. What about those that are hurting? You know, simple way of fellowship is to offer a prayer.
Amen.
Let's go to the next verses. So Acts 4, in 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales. One more. We're going to stop there. So in the process of that, when the disciples, after Jesus had gone, and they were going out about, first of all, they didn't have all their money there with them anymore. They were traveling basically freestyle. Okay. When they stopped somewheres, they would share. Somebody would offer them a meal. When they would take and go somewhere else, somebody was sick, they offer a prayer for healing. In all of this, when the people learned something, they didn't just stop there. They went the next step, and they would say, hey, guess what? I saw Jesus today. Do you know who he is? And then there's other times where they just say, man, that Jesus, did you hear what he talked about today? The one thing that I thought about when I was trying to look up all this information, and in the videos that Pastor has us kind of reviewing to see what we can use or what can inspire us to talk about these different subjects. And in one of the videos, it was actually about the behind the scenes. And the guy says, if Jesus was here today, and if you were to ask him, where is the church? Do you think he'd give you an address?
No.
Would he tell you it's in a certain area? Would he tell you that that's the only place you can meet him? What would he say is the church? Each of us. Each of us. All of us. Not one. It's not me. I can't do it on my own. Pastor can't do it on his own. But pastor can do things that I can't do. And then there's things I can do, and I can say, hey, pastor, can I help you? And in that, we're communing with the fellowship. We're sharing. We're helping. In the Bible, it talks about all of us being the body of Christ. You can't have one piece and not have another piece. You may be the one, Redette, as I was trying to tell Summer the other day, you can be the little pinky, and that little pinky gets smashed, and it's tired of being smashed and wants to be the thumb. Well, maybe that pinky can hold something that the thumb can't hold. Amen. Okay. What about the little toe on the foot? How many times do they get stubbed? How many times do they get smashed? Can the foot walk very well without that little toe?
No.
It can walk, but it's not balanced.
Amen.
So, when we're going through the fellowship, we have to understand and realize that each of us are different. Each of us has a different capability. And maybe one person can talk more than the other person. And maybe you're the one person who likes to sit there and be quiet and not be bothered. And you can think about things and you can figure out things and you can write down things. You ever thought about maybe you're the one who sits there to take the record of what's going on? And the person who's doing all the talking, they keep talking and they keep talking and they keep talking and they never shut up. Well, sometimes the person who's doing all the talking, if they're doing the research to present it, they need to be careful of how they're presenting it because they could present it in the wrong way. Let's go to the next verse. Oh, okay. 1 Corinthians 1:4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because of your testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. In that one, what I pretty much got out of it was that if we are grounding ourselves in Jesus Christ came from God. He is God. He left the Holy Spirit behind to help us for when the times that we feel like we're being picked on, we're being bullied, for the times that we feel like we don't have enough resources to get through whatever the day or the week is. But when we rely on him, when we acknowledge him, and we're willing to reach out to somebody else and say, hey, I can't do this. Can you pray with me today? Hey, I need a half a gallon of milk. I got to feed my kids. You got a half a gallon of milk. Offer it. Okay? I'm not saying you got to give everything away that you have. But if you're going to do it, you got to give it away joyfully and lovingly.
Amen.
And you got to give it away for the right reasons. Not because you have to. Not because somebody told you to.
Amen.
And those who accept it, accept it with grace. Accept it with knowing that God put that person there for you. And he gave them that heart to want to help you. Not that they're trying to control you. Or that they're trying to take and be better than you. I know people who can just sit there one day. They're going down the street. They'll hand out $5 here to somebody. Or they see a mom who has a kid who looks like they're hungry. And they'll buy a happy meal for the kid. I know people who know people in their neighborhood, older folks that ain't able to mow their yard or do something. Very few of those people are still around that are willing to do that. But can you imagine if there was a small group of people who actually went to somebody's house because they saw that that house needed some help and says, would you mind? I don't need to come in your house. I don't need anything from you. I just want to mow your yard. Can I mow your yard for you? People might look at you like you're crazy. They might wonder, what are you trying to do? But if you pray before you go and do that and tell God that you're offering this as a peace offering for somebody else, he's going to step in for you. And you're going to be able to show him, not you, him. Let's go to the next set. In 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you, we have seen and heard, so that we also may have fellowship with us, that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sometimes it's not easy to acknowledge or realize or be willing to say, I'm sorry, I did something wrong. Or to sit there and even just a thought crosses through our mind. Nobody hears it except for God. I get mad at my sister at times. I've called her some pretty nasty names in my mind. I'm not going to repeat them. But when I see my sister, I have so much joy when I first see her. And then she does her usual stuff. And I'm like, really, you can't be my sister. But she's the other side of what I'm not. When we were little, we got along great. Except for when Mom and Dad was in the house. It was a competition. So when we proclaim the word of God, are we proclaiming it with our mouths, with our heart, with our mind and our soul? Or are we just speaking it so people will hear it? If we're doing it and yet we're doing what we want to do and we're not showing what we're talking about, are we really proclaiming the love of God? These are things I think about when I read this. Let's go to the last set, please. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We've just read two verses where it says, if you call on the name of the Lord, and if you all do it together, you'll all be saved. I've seen so many people come in and out of this building, and I've seen so many people that they say, I accept God. But then I turn around and I'm like, sometimes what they do, I don't think it is, But then I got to look at myself, because if I'm sitting there blaming them, what am I doing wrong? I'm not perfect. I'm still learning a lot about myself. I'm still learning a lot about God. You guys want an opportunity to really learn something? One of these Sundays, come downstairs with us and the little kids. I learn a lot down there. I think I'm teaching them something. They're teaching me. And by going through things with them, the things that I learned when I was little and I totally forgot about, and I've never gone back to try to look again, I'm learning it all over. Pastor says, get your Bible out, read it. We went to California, and one night, Noel and I stayed with Kay and Karina and Pastor in the little timeshare apartment, whatever that they were staying in. And to see that Pastor had his Bible laying out there, nobody touched it, but he had his Bible laying out there, and he would get up and he would read it. The girl said that he would read for a little while and then be like, okay, I'm ready to go. I don't do that. What's my excuse? Too busy working. Too busy trying to take care of kids. Too busy trying to do things. Okay, there's doing and there's living. And I'm having to learn how to live and quit doing. Because God will give you what you need for when you need it, and when to do it, and how to do it, and he'll provide you all the resources. Amen. He's not sitting there saying, okay, you read this, now go do it. He says, learn it, receive it. It'll be written upon your heart. If it's written upon your heart, you have not only Jesus, but you have everything that is about him in your heart. And if it's in your heart, then you're not going to have to sit there and be so concerned about the laws, because the laws, they're going to be automatic for you. It's through his grace that you receive all of this. It's not by what you do. It's not by the sacrifices that you have to make. So at this point in time, any sacrifices that we make is strictly a fellowship sacrifice. It's to share. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. We don't have to go through that process no more. So during this week, if at any point in time, if you think about it, somebody in your family, a friend, a coworker, just sometimes that little thought can build into something else. And sometimes it's just the fact of walking up to say somebody and said, hi, or smile. You're acknowledging somebody else. And when you acknowledge somebody else, you're doing exactly what Jesus did. He acknowledged everybody that he came in contact with. He didn't agree with a lot of people, but he acknowledged them. And if they're not going to change their ways, he found his way past them. So this week, think about who you interact with. Think about why you're interacting with them. Find somebody that you can sit, and even if it's just, you know, share a verse back and forth. Or somebody that you can say, hey, I was thinking about you. Do you mind if I pray for you? We have a few more things that are going to be coming up over the next couple weeks. So think about it. Because the rest of them is going to build on all of this. And from what I understand from Pastor, is the whole purpose of this is because it's building up to Pentecost. And Pentecost was where the Holy Spirit came down and he rested on them. Get yourself ready. The time is coming. Thank you.